Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Shana Tova. Shloshim Rabot. Whatever. Tonight's class is dedicated Lirfua Shelema for Gamliel Ben Bahia. He's having an operation. I'd like everybody to pray for Lirfua Shelema. By the time you hear the tape or the CD, the operation should be over, but the post-op will be very close. It's this week. When we read about Noah, and we read about Parashiyot throughout Bereshit, throughout the Torah, there is a particular love called Gezel, robbing, stealing actually. In Lashon HaKodesh, Genevah is when you sneak into a house and you take something unbeknownst to the owner. And Gezel is when you take it forcefully. Like you point the gun at the guy's head and you say, give it to me. But the general taking something that doesn't belong to you, it's called Gezel. And it doesn't have to be much. According to Halakha, it has to be Shaveh Peruta. Worth a penny. Have value. And Pasuk teaches us Ki mala'a ha'aretz hamas bipeneim. First Hashem tells the Torah, it describes to us but the shachet ha'aretz, the land became corrupted, destroyed lifnei Elokim, before Hashem. Fatimirah is Hamas. And the land was full of something called Hamas. When they weren't so active, I used to joke about it, but they're no joke anymore. So I don't even joke about it. Yimach Sheman v'Zichram, terrorist organization. But here it means, Hamas means Gezel. There's another pasuk. A few pesukim later. The land was filled with Hamas. Midrash tells us, Bore, come see. Kama gadol kocha shel Hamas. How great is the power of Hamas? Shehare, dora mabul avru al hakol. The generation of the flood, that's not the only sin they had. You read the Midrashim, they didn't leave anything out. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, promiscuity, immorality, stealing, killing, they did it all. V'lo nechtam alehem gizadinam, but the verdict, the judgment was not sealed, ad shepashtu idem b'gezel, till they reached the point of this sin of Gezel. Shine'emar, as the pasuk says, Ki ma'ala'az Hamas b'nehem yimashchem et ha'aretz. Hashem says, the land is full of Hamas, now I'm going to destroy it. So we see the cause and the effect. V'chein mu'al raj dora mabu ayideh shayu shetufim b'gezel, since they were full of it. Lo nishyemahem p'reta, nobody was left. It was all encompassing, it was throughout the society. Chazal Rashi tells us, go so far, say, Lo nechtam gizad dinam el hagezel. Their fate was not sealed because of all the other things they did, but because of Gezel. So now, question number one for the evening. With all the things they did, why is it that Gezel, this robbery we'll call it, this taking what does not belong to you, why is that the deciding factor in whether Hashem should destroy the world or not? Many different answers. Haramban, I always clarify by saying Nachmanides, not Maimonides, He says, it's interesting, Sivara, if there was no Torah, would you know it's wrong to steal? Would you? You would. You have more morals than him. He said no. Basically, no comments yet. You haven't been here for 2 years. Now you're going to start with a comment? Welcome back. If we didn't have, I mean, there's a lot of people don't have Torah, but they know stealing is wrong. So since Hasechel Mechayevet, since the mind tells you it's not right, and they went against common sense and common morals, it's bad enough. Listen, it's not Shatnez. There's nothing that you wouldn't think of. So why are you doing it? You're going against what you know is morally right, even without a Torah. Therefore Hashem destroys Torah. That's Ramban. Other Mefarshim tell us, well, the world stands on three things. Shalom, Emet, and Din. Peace and truth and justice. And when there's Gezel, there's fighting, there's lying, and when the judges and society is also involved, there's no justice either. So since it's destructive to the world, this sin, this is not some man goes off and he's with the wrong woman, or somebody eats taref, or somebody does something unjust. It's breaking down society. And the things that the world stands upon are destroyed. So if the foundations are destroyed, halas, let's destroy the world. The Melo Haroim and others come up with a third theory. This is an amazing chazal. Ein ba'al harachamim nogea b'nefashot tehillah. Something you should know. I watch this all the time. This is real life. When Hashem wants to collect, discipline, punish, He doesn't start with the person that He has as His student. If I could say politely, the person He's trying to teach a lesson. He usually starts with the property, peripherals. Just like we learn by Lashon Hara and the Negat Sarat, it starts on the house and then on the clothes and then on the person. Same idea. The Baal Rachamim, Hashem in His kindness and His mercy, does not strike the person first. He collects from your property. You break a beautiful Laliktish. Your car gets stolen. Lo Aleinu, the house has a fire. You don't wake up. But He doesn't start with that last step. People are aware of this, but we don't always get the message. So, imagine if a person, let's say he went to court in the real world here, down here, the fake world. And somebody went to court and they don't have to pay. What are they going to do? So they'll whip him, they'll take it out of his flesh. Pound of flesh, like they say. Either you pay a pound of flesh. If a person acquires their property dishonestly, does it belong to them?
No.
So if Hashem comes to collect and you have nothing that belongs to you, He can't use His mercy and take property first, so He attacks the person. So in the case of Gezel, He has to destroy the world. There's no other way to collect. You like that one? I see everybody smiling. That's a cute one. I knew you'd like that one. Chabetz Chaim. It's a new year. He has to get into the class, right? Every sin we make, this doesn't sound like him. This is more woo. Every sin we make, or they make, those people that make sins, creates a mashchit, destructive angel. And the angel usually fits the crime. To rob and steal, in Arabic it's called mi'l. In Yiddish it's called chutzpah. You need gall. You have to be brazen to be a gangster. The angel that's created when somebody violates the sin also has chutzpah. Here's the mashal to teach us. There was a type of bird. I had to look it up because I didn't know exactly what it was. I don't even know what it looks like, but it's probably like an ostrich. It's called an osprey. O-S-P-R-E-Y. And here's mashal. You know it, good. Is it like an ostrich or something? I pictured it like that, with a long beak going into the water to get the fish. So he puts his head in the water, he pulls out a fish, and the fish starts going, please don't eat me, please don't eat me. Hashem created me, it's not right to eat me. You should have rachamim on me. So as the bird is about to become merciful, and his heart is broken, and there's a tear in his eyes, letting the fish go, he realizes that as the fish is speaking to him, the little fish that he ate is trying to jump out of his mouth. He says, you eat the other fish, and you don't want me to eat you? That's chutzpah. So he says, Dora Mabul should have been punished for many, many sins that they did. But Hashem would have had rachamim on them. And he probably would have forgiven or been more patient. Until they had the chutzpah to do Gezel. Gezel is showing you have no rachmanut on the other. So why should I have rachmanut on you? You see, honesty is crucial. There's a story about the Arizal. And as you know, he was very woo-hoo. He used to look at foreheads and know the sin a person did. That's not reading your mind, that's reading your forehead. He had a friend, acquaintance, who happened to be in the world of business. And one day he saw him and he told him, do you know you have the sin of Gezel? You better make teshuvah for that. Requires restitution, regret, promising not to do. He said, but I conduct my business very honestly. I ask halachic questions all the time. Anytime I'm in doubt, I check. That's what it says. I could read your face. So what did he do? He had two factories. One factory was all men, one factory was all women. He went to the men's factory, called everybody out. He emptied a purse of money on a table. And he said, if there's anybody here I harmed, anybody here I owe to, anybody here thinks they were cheated, please take from the table. Nobody came forward. He went to the ladies' factory. He said, listen, I have this problem. I'd like to know that everybody's treated fairly. I don't owe, that I threw the money on the table. And a woman came forward and took a few coins, some change off the table. She said, I didn't think it was a lot, but I think you were unfair for this amount. And I was never mocher you. Now I'm mocher. He went back to Arizal and said, I found out what it was and I made restitution. A few pennies. The Chazon Ish was even more amazing. The Chazon Ish, as you know, is Gadol Ador in the last generation, actually. And living in Eretz Yisrael, he became world renowned for his powers of teshuvot, getting the answer out to the people. All kinds of halachic questions. Well, the letters were stored in bags, and he would open them and read them and write his answer. One day, a young boy broke into one of the bags as he was playing, and he noticed many of the questions came with self-addressed stamped envelopes, so that the Chazon Ish could answer. The boy took the stamps off the envelopes. He ripped up the envelopes and threw them away. The Chazon Ish was sitting in his room when the boy came in to offer him a present of stamps. When he saw it, he trembled. He asked the boy calmly, where'd you get those stamps? He said, well, they were in the mail. He says, do you remember which envelopes they came in? He said, no, there were a lot of them. I don't know which is which. He said, did you save the envelopes? No, I ripped them up and threw them away. He became a little concerned, a little down in spirit. He counted the stamps. He added up the amount. And he gave that money, the tzedakah, for use for the rabbim, hoping that that would be his kapara for taking the value of the stamps. A few pennies. But he considered it gezel. What is gezel? How does an honest person, I mean, I see here, I don't have my regular crowd tonight. All of you look honest. Got a nice looking bunch of honest people here. And you're probably asking yourself, you know, what is this class about? That doesn't apply to me. I'm not from Dor HaMabul. I'm not from the Tisha Het HaAretz. I go to classes. I work honestly. I don't take pens home from the office. You know anybody that doesn't? But I'm okay. I don't make copies on the boss's machine. I don't spend my time looking up what's on sale in the Gap on the internet in my office while I'm supposed to be working. I don't do those things other people, but I'm honest. So what is it that brings a person together? I don't rob people. Well, using what doesn't belong to you without permission is also gezel. There are people that are shomer Torah mitzvot, and they're what's called morim heter latzma. They rule leniencies for themselves. I'm only borrowing. I'm going to put it right back. The fact that it doesn't belong to me is only auxiliary to the facts. The books of Musar say that's like being on an incline. If you start by allowing yourself to use what doesn't belong to you without permission, it's an incline that leads down, 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 down to gezel. Baba Mitzia, Gemara, Daf Kafdale, 24a, if you are scrollers. Morzutra Hasida. Morzutra the Hasid. The utterly righteous one. He was staying by an inn. And a very valuable cup was stolen. And nobody knew who did it. Morzutra Hasida sat down in the dining hall. He's eating his dinner. And he saw one of the Talmidim get up, wash his hands, and wipe it on another man's coat. It's hung up there. You have a towel. Not so bad, is it? Mozutra Hasida said, that man stole the cup. They asked him, how do you know? He says, a man that has that little respect for another's property is the one guilty of this crime. It starts with wiping your hands, it ends up with gezel. Talmid Eliyahu brings that story as an example. I got an even more frightening one. The Klausenberg Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rabbi Halberstam. He was by a doctor, and as doctors often do, they run late. And even for a Hasidish Rebbe, it was getting late for Mincha. And so he asked the receptionist, may I wash my hands because I have to pray in the corner? And she said, go right ahead. So he washed his hands. He walked over to the corner. And he, well, I guess I could say about the closet worker, he davened. When he finished, his student that was with him, accompanying him, said, Rebbe, how come you washed without wiping your hands? He says, well, we asked Rashut to wash. We didn't ask Rashut to wipe. We asked permission to wash. We didn't ask permission to wipe. Who says I can use his paper towels? Now, this is very strict. in a doctor's office, they put there for the use of the patients. I don't want you to get crazy. But I want you to understand the sensitivity. It's not mine. I did ask if I could use the sink and the water. I neglected to ask, can I use the towel? So I won't. That's a chassid, that's a rebbe, but it's a degree of sensitivity. I was going to leave that story out of the class. Because really, you can argue. If I have an office, has a waiting room, and on the table is candies, nobody has to ask to eat a candy. They're there for the people who come and sit and wait. Perhaps this rebbe would not eat one. I'm not talking about kashrut, I'm talking about permission. But there are certain givens. But you should be sensitive that if it's not mine, it's not mine. Not mine to keep, not mine to use, without the person knowing. Mesilah Yisharim. The 11th Perek Nikiyot, he talks about all the different things a person should stay away from, and he mentions in the first topic, Gezel. Most people don't steal openly. They don't rob openly. Even so, Rubam, the majority of people, they taste dishonesty in their business, in their trading, in their dealings with other people. They allow themselves the profit at the loss of somebody else. The Yomru, Silat Yisharim, 1700s, 250 years ago, Leharviach Shane, for a prophet, the rules are a little different. Story loaded tonight. In Yerushalmi, Gemara, Batra. Maaseh Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Hanina came to visit Rabbi Yochanan in his garden. So Rabbi Yochanan offered him some beautiful, beautiful te'anim figs. He enjoyed them. When he was leaving, he was going through the path back to the Rishut Tarabim, to the street, and he saw some figs that looked a lot better than the ones he had. So he turned to Rabbi Yochanan and said, Rabbi Yochanan, I thought you were treating me like a guest, but I see you held back the good stuff and you gave me the B figs instead of the A figs. He says, oh, those figs? That tree belongs to my son. And although I know that he would be very happy if a tzaddik like you would enjoy his products, his property, I still feel it's asur if I don't ask him. Chafetz Chaim takes a different approach. Why do good people steal? Because they don't know the law. Choshen Mishpat is a very difficult part of the Shulchan Aruch. There's four sections. That section is very difficult. The laws are very complex. I find very often business questions, neighbor questions. Ooh, the neighbor questions. Borrowing and paying back questions. Rebbeit questions. Interest. I once asked one of the poskim about community a question on rebbeit while they were learning the sugya of rebbeit of interest in the kollel that he was learning with. And he said, aren't you going to Eretz Israel next week? I said, yes. He said, why don't you ask that one? I don't know the answer. Very difficult. And most people don't know it. So the Chafetz Chaim is saying, many people have property that doesn't belong to them because they don't know the law and they think that they own it rightfully. It doesn't mean taking a gun to somebody's head or breaking into somebody's house. Using what was left in your care. You're watching it for free. Oh, you know something? I heard this big news in Eretz Yisrael, so you turn on the radio. Is it your radio? No, I'm watching it for somebody else. They're away for the summer. Can I use it? How about my neighbor left his broom in the yard and I see the kids threw a lot of junk down in the backyard. So all I have to do is pick up the broom and sweep it and put the broom back. Or I can go in the house, go down to the basement, get my outdoor broom, bring up the thing, go, it's easy to use this. He doesn't mind. But does he know you're using it? No. Does he mind? Probably not. It's not a mitzvah. There's a lot to do if it's a mitzvah. They say, well, a person consents to the use of one of the items for a mitzvah, so long as it doesn't wear it out. How about you owe somebody money and you delay the payment? It's due October 10th and you decide, I'm going to pay on the 20th. I want to go out to dinner tonight. I don't have the cash for that guy if I want to go to dinner. I'll pay dinner. Next week when I get paid, I'll pay him. You allowed? Whose money are you using the next week? Yours or his? Wasn't it due? It's not yours. Now, I'm not giving psakim here. I'm not giving rules of law. But I want to show you that you get into gray areas where you don't know, can I use it? Can't I use it? I forgot my tefillin. I see a beggar tefillin. It says somebody's name on it. He's not here. Now he prays early. I pray late. Can I use it? I'm going to fold it and put it back exactly the same. Can I use it? That's for mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah. How about if I want to use his broom? Is his broom the same as tefillin? Where does it end? Where does it start? So says the Chafetz Chaim, since people don't know the laws, they do things and they're guilty. Simple principle. Kol shenishar biyado mamon havero. So long as something is property, a value that belongs to somebody else and it's now in your possession, afilu rak shave pruta, even work a penny, bichlal gezel hu. It's gezel. You know, it was a great bit midrash, bit Talmud of Kelm it was called. Very righteous people and very learned people. A man left his walking stick there, like a cane. He came back 13 years later. It's a true story. It was in exactly the same place he left it. Nobody would move it. It's not theirs. Another man left a purse with some valuable coins on the windowsill. He came back several years later. It was still there. It's not mine. I don't move it. I don't touch it. The Chafetz Chaim himself lived in Europe before most of the streets were paved, especially the part of Poland where he lived. Radom was a very small town. When it rained, it got very muddy. People didn't have 19 pairs of Prada. As though they had one pair of shoes for the whole year. By the way, if you really want to be smart, the letters of parade and Prada are the same. The difference is about $350. $350. You don't get the red thing on the back. But now they put the red thing on the back of everybody's shoes. So, he would walk in the street in the rain, and he'd see that people laid boards so you could walk on the boards rather than step in the mud. He walked in the mud. Why? He felt perhaps somebody put it there without the rishut of the owner. What right do I have to walk on it? We're starting to get the picture. This rights to property, or lack of it, is very, very serious. In Amos it says, "Ve'etzem berosh kulam." They bring a mashal in the midrash. Imagine a basket full of avonot. Which malach that was created for the avonot is going to go before the court in Shemayim first? Gedel. He runs first. Midrash Shabbat Vayikra tells us there were people who had avodah zarah, gevurah zarah, shevut damim. Gezel is equal to all of them. The big three, the cardinal sins. But now I want to give you everyday occurrences. It's frightening. It's frightening how we live. Just came up today, I didn't know what to do. I'll tell you which case in a minute. Geneva, this is Baba Kama, Tafkof Yutel. Anyone wants to grab Baba Kama 119? There's a thing called Geneva Amenat Laknit. Geneva means I'm taking it. I want to aggravate the person. I'm going to give it back. But I want him looking for his car keys. So I take the car keys. I put them in my pocket. I let him look all around for his car keys. And then I give them back. I stole it in order to aggravate him. I know he loves to mow his lawn every Sunday, so I took his lawn mower out of the garage and I put it in the other garage. And he looked all over for it. Monday morning, I put it back. I didn't really steal it. I didn't take possession. I gave it back. I did it only to aggravate. Is it Geneva? Yes. Hafetz Chaim says, there's a thing called Genevat Shena, robbing sleep. A person who wakes up another who's not ready to get up is called a gazlan. He stole from him his rest. Says the Chafetz Chaim, and that's a gezelah you can never pay back. I saw someone sleeping today in the kollel. It was time for mincha. He's sleeping in the chair. I wrote this note a couple of hours before, and I'm looking at him sleeping, and I start now with the calculations. If I wake him up, I'm stealing his rest. But he really came here to pray mincha. If he sleeps through mincha, it's not like a shakri. He doesn't have another hour. If it's sunset, it's sunset. It's now 6 o'clock, 6:10. Another 10 minutes, he can't even pray anymore. What should I do? So I gently put my hand on his shoulder. I said, mincha? And he opened his eyes. I hope I did right. Genevat dat habiriyot. Fooling somebody. Making them believe something that's not true. Am I stealing? Yes. That's the Gemara says. Just sketching. Just stealing. The Yisod V'Shorash Avodah tells us how strict and how important it is to avoid this sin. A person should give up even to 100 gold coins. Milahamid atzmo b'safek shel gezelat pruta achat. Rather than be in a position where there's a doubt, a possibility, however remote, that maybe has one penny that doesn't belong to him. Why does he say that? Dum dum dum. Ki alavon hachamor hazeh. Because of this serious sin, niskarim lifnei bnei adam sha'arei teshuvah. The gates of repentance are sealed. Ki al ha'avon ha'chamur hazeh, due to this serious transgression, niskarim lifnei bnei ha'adam sha'arei teshuvah. The gates of repentance are closed. Ad asher yashiv et ha'gezerah, until you return it. Kol shebal yado mamon shelo kadin shulchan aruch, any property that comes into possession that's not according to the laws of Shulchan Aruch, Or, as another one, Shegaram Hezek, causing damage. Ben Rav Lemat, however small. Nikra Gazlan. And Hashem will bring the person to justice. Anybody know the laws of Eved Ivri? It's Mishpatim, it's another couple of months away. 3-4 months we'll be reading it. It's a January type of parasha. Shovavim, we read it later. Actually, but January into February. Eved Ivri. How does a person become an Eved Ivri? He steals and he can't pay back. So what does the Torah say? Okay, can't pay back, let him go. He can't pay back, lock him up for 6 months. He can't pay back, make him work it off. Yes, in a way. But look what the Torah says. You sell him to another person. You take the money to pay back the person from whom he robbed. What happens to him? Well, now he has to stay by this new master. This new master has the right to marry him off to a goya, shivcha kenanit. He marries her. He lives with her. He has children with her. The children stay with the master and are avadim forever and ever. They're not free Yehudim, they're avadim. The wife stays with the master. He goes free by himself. Why? So he could pay back a debt. That's serious stuff. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yikam Damo, was killed by the Nazis. He had a sefer that he wrote, and he offered it to another as a present. The person told him, I'd rather pay. He said, I'd rather give you a present. He said, no, I insist on paying. He said, no, you must take it as a present. He said, well, why won't you let me pay? You worked very hard, you published it, I'd like to pay. I can afford it. He says, yes, but if you pay, then I have to check every page to make sure there's no mistakes. If I give it to you as a present, I no longer have that obligation. We spent a lot of time in tefillah in the last few weeks in hopes of banging on the proverbial heartstrings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and invoking mercy. Chazal in the Midrash tell us, Sarich Adam Litaher Libo Kodem Shitpaler. A person must purify their heart before they pray. Chen Yov Amar Alo Chamas Bechapi Utfili Zaka Tfilati Zaka. Because I have no gezel in my hands, my prayer is pure. Amar Rishon Berg HaKohen Berbi Nechemya. Is there such a thing as tefillah achura, a dirty prayer? Ela kol mi shiyada meluchlachot begezel. Anybody who has the dirt of gezel on their hands, who korei l'kadosh baruch hu ve'eno oneh oto. He cries out to Hashem and Hashem doesn't answer. Chas v'shalom lo aleinu. To be in such a position. Lama. Why? Says the Midrash, tefilato ba'avera. He's praying with a sin. Amar avchamar v'chanina. Minayin shekomen shagezer b'yado tefilato achura. How do we know that whoever has gezel in their hands, remember that's a penny, that is tefillah, is disgustingly dirty. Shneemar, upariskhem kapechem alim enai. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I'll turn away my eyes, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kam ki tarbu tefillah. Even if you pray and pray and pray, eneni shomea. The prophet connects dirty hands to prayers that are not heard. Uminayin, how do we know the reverse? That someone who's honest, their prayers are heard. Shineemar niki chapayim v'alevav. Yisa belacham et Hashem. The one who has clean hands, by the way, that's the great Peticha Panasa. Everybody pays money to do on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. And that is more of Tehillim. Clean hands brings Beracha. You want to pray? Dirty hands? You lose. It's even worse than not getting what you want. What could be worse than not getting what you want? How about having what you want and losing it? That's worse, isn't it? Once you taste it, it's hard to live without. It's the American way. You know, you upgrade and you can never go back. Chafetz Chaim in Parashat Vayetze al HaTorah says, Mi she'oshek ve'gozel et chavero hu lo rak rasha. He's not only a dummy. He's not only wicked, I mean. Ela gam shote. He's also stupid. Shemamon abba be'oshek abagezer. Money or property that comes into your hands through illegal means. Also wipes out mehashefa kasher sheyesh lo mikivar. Makes him lose what he already has in beracha. If you took what doesn't belong to you, et shelcha yitelu mimcha. What is yours, they will take from you. Brings a mashal. A person who is a father. And the father gives his children from the table. And one of the children grabs, I guess the red lollipop is always popular. The red lollipop, because he got a green one. I don't know what kids have against green, but they don't like the green one. The one who got robbed, the original owner of the red one, went to his father and said, Daddy, Daddy, I asked him to give it back to me, but he didn't. And I know you don't want me to hit him, because you don't like us fighting. And you don't like us arguing, so I won't argue. So I'm asking you, give me a different one. When the father hears the victim being so proper and correct, he kisses him on his head and he gives him a better portion than the one he lost. He says, my son, you did a wonderful thing. I love you. Your silly brother can hold what he took from you. But next time, I'm going to give you double and him nothing. The Nimshal, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is Noten Lechem Lechol Basar. He's in charge of distributing what everyone has. He's our Father, Avinu Malkenu. Banim atem la'Hashem Elokichem. We're his children. And he wants us to be nice to each other and fair to each other and kind to each other. He doesn't want us fighting, and he certainly doesn't want us bickering over the blessings that he gives us. As it says in Tanah de Be'eliyahu, one of my favorites, 28th Perek. Anybody wants to get a hold of it? I don't know if it's available in English. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Hashem said to the children of Israel, Banai Ahubai, my sons, my beloved ones, Kilum Hasati Davar Shevakesh Mikem, is there anything I can ask of you? I mean, he's perfect and he's complete. Is there anything you can give me? Umani Mevakesh Mikem, but what do I request of you? Ele Shetiryu Ohavim Zetze, that you should love one another. Ve'lo imatze bachem avera ve'gezel, that you will not conduct yourselves in a way of dishonesty. Lachen kesheachad nogea be'esek havero ve'ala mikesh mimenu shivna mizev ratza, he comes before Hashem u'mitchanen efanav, he cries, I got cheated. The one who says, I really can handle it, Hashem, I just want you to take care of me, will be blessed. But the other one has a price to pay. Timing doesn't allow it to broaden this too much. And we made a lot of points about Gezel. But Gezel seems to be, those who came late, this is where tonight's class starts. Gezel, if you had to put it on a list of Ben Adam LaMakom, Ben Adam LaChavero, I won't ask him again, I don't want to get it wrong, I'll ask somebody else. Is it between man and man or man and God? All mitzvot, by the way, between man and God. We know that. Because he put them in the Torah. So but when you break it down to man and man and man and God, stealing from another person is man and man. But there's two pesukim. It's a great chidush. You're allowed to tell it over Friday night. The first pasuk says, Batishachet ha'aretz lefnei ha'elokim batimalei ha'aretz chamas. The land became corrupt before God, and the land became filled with robbery. Ketz kol basar b'lefanai ki malei ha'aretz chamas mipeneihem. The next pasuk, two pasukim later, it says the land became filled with Hamas in front of them. And that's where Rashi says, Gezel sealed their fate. So we see two times within a few Pesukim in the whole introduction to the saga of the flood that Gezel is mentioned as the cause. But there's a difference between the two. In the first time, it says before God. To tell us that if you want to know how the land becomes full of Hamas, it's because of Batishachet Asif Elokim. It's because the land becomes corrupt before God. How do people become degraded and debased to the point where they could actually steal and rob from one another? How does the Ben Adam LaChavero become spoiled when you don't have Ben Adam LaMakom? When you don't have the yoke of heaven upon you? The Makor, the essence, the root, the cause, the source is Vatash Tishachet Asne Elokim. If you don't have Ben Adam LaMakom, if you're not putting on your tefillin, man, if you're not praying to Hashem, tefillah, if you're not doing the mitzvot, not wearing shadness, if you're not keeping the laws that have to do with Hashem, ben adam lamakom, emunah, yirah, ahava, if you're not accepting the all of the mitzvot, then a person is out of control. You need that yoke to go straight. And if you don't have the yoke of Torah and mitzvot on your head, a person goes wild. And it breaks down into harming others that are around you. Animals don't have mitzvot. Animals don't have Torah. Survival of the fittest. I want, I take. I'm bigger than you, I take. I'm stronger than you, I take. In fact, some kill for fun. They like to see the victim squirm. People don't necessarily take from another because they need it. It's because sometimes they want to choke the competition. They want to put another down. Or they even enjoy the sight of another suffering. Ish et re'eu chayim bila'o. The Pirkei Avot tells you, you should pray for the safety and security of the government. Where would you rather live today? In Iowa, Ohio, Cleveland, Salt Lake City, or Baghdad? Were it not for the government's strength and security, Chaim Bilao, they take a person live and they saw off his head on television. Animals. And they enjoy it. There's a great drive towards evil in a human being. And it's the yoke of authority that holds them back from bad deeds. And for us, it's the all Malchut Shamayim that does it for us. It's the yoke of heaven. Dora Mabul didn't have that. And they became animals. When people live without Torah Mitzvot, violence reigns in the streets. Even philosophy, even secular culture, do not perfect a person. And they do not contribute one iota to controlling the Yetzara. Barati Yetzara, Barati Ro Torah Tevalin. I, Hashem, I created the disease, I created the cure. There's one cure for flu, there's one cure for heart disease, there's one cure for a headache, there's one cure for Yetzara. Torah. That's what it takes to control your basic nature. Now it says, by the way, were it not for the Torah, we can learn sinuit from a cat. Were it not for Torah, we can learn honesty from an ant. Do you know that a cat goes into a corner to give birth under something? Even when they move their bowels, they go to a place that's quiet, a place that's private. Do you know that an ant has a scent? That if one ant touches a crumb, no other ant will touch that crumb. That's how honest they are. It's not mine. So we could learn honesty from the ant. But Rabbi Shwadron points out that the cat will also go under a bed and do things in a person's shoe. They don't care about the other person's shoe. And an ant may not touch another ant's crumb, but leave your picnic food out and watch how many ants attack it. they're very honest to a degree, but not when it involves your stuff. There's a bird, tameh, called chasida. And we find that the birds that are not pure, that we don't eat, have negative traits. Either they're birds of prey, or whatever. So they say, what's the trait of this chasida? Well, why is it called chasida? Because she shares kindly with her friends. So the rabbi there, so it should be a bird ta'or. It does chesed. So yes, it only does chesed with our friends. Everybody else is an enemy. So although we could learn Torah principles from nature, we see nature doesn't perfect us. To be a ben adam, you need Torah and you need mitzvot. And that's two separate things. Mitzvot straighten the person out. They keep you in line. You have a time to pray, a time to bless, a time to be tarat mishpacha, a time for holidays, a time for avodah, a time for minucha. Everything, it keeps you in line. It straightens you out. I'm allowed, I'm not allowed, I can, I can't. How do I do this? How do I, should I do it? How do I refine doing it? How can I do it better? It controls you. It's like a yoke on an animal. It's like a cage that restricts, but it keeps you in line. It's like the plow that has a goad on it that keeps the shore from going, the ox from going off the path. And you get straight rows. That's mitzvot. But Torah, you need Torah to perfect the way you are, not the way you act. Who are you inside? The Torah is not a culture. The Torah is not man-made. It's a God-given perfection instrument. And what they lacked was Torah mitzvot. They lacked the basic Ol Shamayim. And they showed to what degrees people can sink when they don't have that. So with all we said about Gezel, and I don't want to discount any of it, I want you to know there's so many things that they did wrong. Nechtam Gezer Dinam al Gezel, for all the reasons we said. But still, for us, that's not enough anymore. We have to be squeaky clean and honest 100%. We also have to be moral. We have to be kind. We have to be good. We have to be sanua, modest. We have to be humble. We have to control our tempers. How are we going to do all that? Torah, 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 mitzvot, mitzvot, mitzvot. The more I can do, the more I can learn, the better I'll be. The more human being I'll be. The less of a cat. The less of an ant. The less of a chasidah. A cat is a cat is a cat. There was a famous story told about several about Ishonim. Some say it was the Rambam, some say it was Ramban, some say it was Ababanel, some say it was others. But in those days, they used to constantly debate with the goyim, the clergy of the other religions, who were also high up in the government. And one said, environment rules. The other said, no, nature rules. So the rabbi said, no, nature rules. The priest said, no, environment rules. He says, how could you prove? He says, I can train a cat to be a waiter in the finest restaurant. If I can, da-da-da, and they made some penalty for the one who loses the debate. They gave the man a month to train his cats. And the day that the royal court came together for the test, as you all know probably, the cats came out in tuxedos, walking on two hind legs, carrying trays full of glasses of wine, and they started to serve the king and his court. The first course, the second course, as the priest gloated success of his training. They were almost like human beings. Just like a circus act. The rabbi sat back and didn't say a word. The king turned to the rabbi and said, no. I doubt he said that, but he probably said, no. The rabbi quietly reached into his jacket he took a little box out and he released a couple of mice on the floor. And the cat spilled everything on everybody and got down on all fours and started chasing the mouse. He said, a cat is a cat. My point tonight is, I want to introduce you to yourselves. Your people. You're not only B'nai Adam, you're B'nai Israel. We have a certain quality, a certain greatness that we have to live up to. To do that, we have to control our baser nature. And to control our baser nature, we need Torah, 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 Torah. And we have to openly accept that we are Abdei Hashem, the servants of Hashem. We prayed it, we cried it, we said it in all different ways. Hashem Elokim, Yedako Pogda Apalto. We did it for the last month, the last 51 days. We're crying and screaming, yes, Hashem, I only want to do what you want. But deep down inside, we only want to do what we want. So to control that deep down, and to keep it deep down, and to perfect ourselves and reach our ultimate perfection, we should accept the yoke of heaven, we should pray for ourselves with clean hands, and we should study more and more Torah, so that we understand who we are, what we are, and what Hashem wants from us. And Hashem will give us success in doing it the right way. Amen.